Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, the founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. In yesterday's broadcast, we read you an email that we received from a gentleman in Sweden who had left the Mormon Church and was looking for a church in Sweden. And as we explained yesterday, we are not at all familiar with churches in that country, but we were hoping to give some bullet points, if you will, of what to look for in a church, because there are a lot of people coming out of the Mormon Church, there are a lot of people finding faith in Jesus Christ, and they're wondering, well, where do I land, so to speak? Where am I going to fellowship? Now, as we explained yesterday, where you attend church is not really an issue that saves you, unlike the Mormon Church that would tell you that you have to belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints if you hope to achieve salvation. That is not a biblical concept. However, where you fellowship is certainly important when it comes to your growth and your maturity as a Christian believer. So there are some things that you should look for if you are hoping to be the mature believer that you should be as a Christian. So what we were going to offer, and we started in yesterday's broadcast, is to offer some bullet points of what to look for in a church. Now, we should mention, this is not meant to be an exhaustive list. In fact, for many, it may even seem like it's too long of a list. But they are some things that I personally and Eric personally would certainly want to consider if we were looking for a place to attend weekly. And yesterday we talked about the importance of a pastor honoring and preaching from the Bible as if it is God's only infallible and final word to his people. In other words, if you go into a church and you start hearing a pastor who only preaches, let's say, from the newspaper, or he talks nothing but stories, little anecdotes and things like that, you're probably not going to grow a whole lot through sermon preaching like that. You are looking for a church where the pastor honors the Word of God. He believes it's the infallible and final word to God's people. And also, he's going to stick with what we call the 66 books of the Bible, both the Old and New Testament. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in the second bullet point.
Is the preaching Christ-centered, and does it also support the traditional teachings of Christianity, such as the Trinity, salvation by grace through faith, the virgin birth, Christ's substitutionary atonement on the cross, and his bodily resurrection?
This is important because there are some churches out there, they may use the word Christian, but it doesn't necessarily mean that what the church stands for is also Christian. Now, we know this from the example of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. How often do they say, well, look at the name of our church. We're Christian. That doesn't really mean anything. Doesn't mean a thing. But is the preaching Christ-centered? Does it support the traditional teachings of Christianity? Let's be serious, folks. Christianity has been around a little while. All right. It's been around, what, over 2,000 years. It's important that we understand that there are certain teachings that the Christian church has held for generations, for centuries. And to all of a sudden come up with something new? Well, if a pastor says, I've got some new light, right there I would hope a red flag's going up. Because there really can't be all that much that's really new when it comes to doctrinal teachings from the Bible.
I think that a denomination title is a good thing to look for as well, because there are certain denominations I think you can pretty much take to the bank. If it's a Southern Baptist, Evangelical Free, if it's Calvary Chapel, those kinds of denominations are solid, and you can pretty much guess if if they belong to that denomination, the denomination is not going to let them be part of them unless they teach true doctrine. But today, Bill, we have so many independent / non-denominational churches, it makes it very difficult. And I'm going to give
us... not necessarily wrong.
Not necessarily wrong.
We do want to make that very clear. Yeah. Just because a church happens to be independent and doesn't belong to a larger denomination does not mean that necessarily it's some kind of rogue church out there.
And I wasn't trying to infer that at all. No. But what I'm saying is it doesn't give you a whole lot of information based on they're just an independent church or a non-denominational church. I suggest going to their internet site. And on that internet site, I'm going to say probably about 70% of the churches have done a pretty good job with this. They have About Us on the top. Usually it's About Us. And it'll have our staff, our pastor, our beliefs. You click onto that, and they usually come up with a pretty long statement of faith, depending on the church. This is your clue. Read through there. And if you're not sure, if you're a new Christian, you can do what we're going to be talking about, where do we stand, and you can compare what those things are and see if they're the same.
Right. You mentioned the title of our statement of faith, and we're going to use that as just an example, because our statement of faith at Mormonism Research Ministry is pretty basic as an evangelical statement of faith. And of course, you want to start off with, does the church recognize the 66 books of both the Old and New Testaments? Do they comprise the inspired Word of God and without error in the original writings? Now, you've got to understand, when we talk about that, we're not saying that a translation is infallible. This is where understanding the role of inerrancy and even the definition of inerrancy is very important, because I think a lot of Mormons misunderstand what that means. Look at a church that certainly does honor the Bible as being the Word of God, that is God's complete written revelation for the salvation of man, and is the final authority regarding Christian life and faith. In other words, we look to the Bible as giving us the instructions for how we should believe and how we should live. It's not that there couldn't be good suggestions outside of the Bible. We're not downplaying that. There have been numerous books written on the subject of how a Christian should live. But certainly all those points should go back and point to what the Bible says originally. If it's contradicting what the Bible has to say, that would be a flag.
It's kind of like the Constitution for the Christian.
You could say that. Another bullet point that we would have in our statement of faith is there is one uncreated eternal God eternally existing in three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we have several verses on our website that support that position. These three are not merely one in purpose, but are also one in essence. And the reason why that's important, folks, is because if the church does not hold to a Trinitarian viewpoint, there's only a few other viewpoints they could possibly hold to, all of which we would consider to be in some way conflicting with what the Bible says about God. If the church does not hold, for instance, to the Trinitarian concept, it's probably going to be modalistic. In other words, they're going to confound the persons in the Godhead. Either the Father is the Son or the Son is the Holy Spirit. That would be modalism, which has always been considered a heresy in the Christian church. Or they do as the Mormon church now does, and they separate the entities within the Godhead and make them separate gods. Now, that also would conflict with what the Bible has to say about God, because it makes it very clear that there's only one God, not three in one Godhead.
And this is a non-negotiable. You have to have that in order for it to be a biblical church. Another point is Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, was born of a virgin, led a sinless life, atoned for sin by his death on the cross, and rose again bodily on the third day because he ever lives. He alone is our high priest and advocate.
Because there are organizations such as the Watchtower Society that probably wouldn't say to your face they don't believe in the resurrection, but they certainly don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ. So there would be a difference there, of course. And we find also how Christ atoned for our sins by his death on the cross, whereas Mormonism, of course, teaches that he atoned for sin in the Garden of Gethsemane. Some Mormon professors and teachers have actually said he atoned for all of the sins of mankind in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then they try to do some backpedaling when we say, wait a minute, prove that from the Bible, and then they say, well, yeah, but he died on the cross too. Well, what does that mean? He couldn't have atoned for sin on the cross if you just got done telling me that he atoned for all of the sins of mankind in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's nothing left for him to do on the cross. But certainly the cross must be a central point of the church. It must be a central issue with the Christian church.
Next point, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin, regenerates, indwells, guides, and instructs, as well as empowers the believer for godly living and service. The Holy Spirit will never contradict what God the Father has already revealed.
And that's an important point, because when people come up to us, especially members of the LDS Church, and they say, well, the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit told me such and such is true, but yet what they claim they were told was true conflicts with what God has already revealed in the Bible, then obviously it wasn't the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost that was speaking to that member of the church. That's just not the way the Holy Spirit operates. Also, does the church teach that all mankind is sinful by nature and that this condition makes it impossible to earn any type of exaltation or salvation through good works of our own? We're not downplaying the importance of good works, but good works are a byproduct of saving faith. They are not a prerequisite to be saved.
Mankind is saved by grace through faith alone in Christ Jesus. Believers are justified by his shed blood and shall be saved from wrath through him.
Also, that Christ's church is not an organization. Does the church or fellowship understand that? It's a body of believers. The church is made up of people. It's a body of believers who have recognized their lost state and placed their trust in the redeeming work of Christ for their salvation. In a nutshell, what you could say is that the church is made up of forgiven people. That's who are going to be in heaven. Forgiven humans.
Not perfect people.
Not
but forgiven people. And then the next one, Jesus Christ is going to return again for those who are his own. All true believers will reign with him throughout eternity. He will be our God. We will be his people.
And again, there's going to be some differences of opinion as to when Jesus is going to make that second appearance. There's certainly a lot of different voices out there that are claiming that it could be this time, it could be that. That's not a salvific issue. That's a secondary issue. I wouldn't even have a problem attending a church that I may not have even agreed with on that. Unless, of course, it certainly affected the preaching in other areas, then I would be concerned. But when Jesus is coming back is not a primary issue.
And the final point, there will be a bodily resurrection of both the just and the unjust, the just to everlasting life, the unjust to everlasting damnation. If you want to see what we've just read here on this show today, where do we stand? You can go to our website, mrm.org/about. We have all of these there. Study those and compare that with other churches, what their statement of faith are all about.
And again, it's not an exhaustive list, but it does give you something to look at when making a decision as to what to look for in picking a church.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has worked hard to equip people to understand the differences between Mormonism and the Christian faith. At MRM.org, we have dozens of articles and video resources that will educate you in a variety of ways. Or perhaps your church needs to schedule Mormonism Research Ministry to come for a live weekend presentation. Remember, we're here to equip the body of Christ. Let us know what we can do for you. Contact us through our website. Again, that's MRM.org. Yeah.